Good afternoon and welcome to Light in the Darkness. My name is Red Mark. Well, it's time for our usual commentary, but this week's a little different because I've had some requests about this subject. So it's more of a teaching, which hopefully the commentaries are as well. But let me just do this and bear with me. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the Coming World Church. Dated this third day of August of the year 2017. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and of the abominations of the earth. Wow. Revelation chapter 17, verses 3, 4, and 5. New King James Version. Boy, that's powerful. Now, I've had several requests of late asking about this subject. Now, while it would be entirely impossible to portray this completely in a commentary form, I will do my best to at least give you an overview of this controversial but soon coming reality, a unified world church that will partner with the also soon-arriving world leader, commonly known today as the Antichrist. I pray this will answer some of the questions being asked, and so here we go. Now, Revelation verse 5 speaks of a name of a woman, and upon her forehead of the woman was written her name, described as Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. It is commonly held that the title Babylon the Great, assigned to this woman, it's not a reference to Babylon as a city or to Babylonia as a nation, but a religious designation, namely that the woman corresponds religiously to what Babylon was religiously. The meaning is made clear by her description as the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. It has been noted by many writers that the iniquities and pagan rites of Babylon crept into the early church, and were largely responsible for the corruptions incorporated in Roman Catholicism from which Protestantism separated itself in the Middle Ages. Now, it all started when the unholy alliance of church and state resulted, which began in the early part of the 4th century. Constantine, emperor of Rome at that time, assumed leadership of the church, and pagan temples became Christian churches. Constantine then became Pontifex Maximus. Now, out of this alliance between the Roman Empire, the Roman Emperor and the Christian Church, came the birth of Roman Catholicism. Now, the influence of paganism on the Church increased over the years, step by step. The Church began to shroud itself in mystery and ritualism that had, and still does, a strong resemblance to Babylonian mysticism. Now, here are a few brief examples. The Chaldean Tau, T-A-U, which was an elevation of a large T on the end of a pole, was changed to the sign of the cross. If you watch the leaders of the church today in Rome, they carry these staffs and the crosses on the end. The rosary of pagan origin was introduced. The celibacy of priests and nuns, which has no scriptural verification but finds a counterpart in the Vestal Virgins of paganism, was conceived. And the following is a partial list of unscriptural changes introduced during the centuries. Let me take a drink here. Let me give you a list of some of these changes as I'm going to right now. I'll do just some of them, okay? AD 300, prayers for the dead began. AD 300, making signs of the cross. AD 375, the worship of saints and angels. And remember, these are non-scriptural things. AD 394, Mass first instituted. 431, the worship of Mary began. In 500, priests began dressing differently than lay people. 593, the doctrine of purgatory introduced. Purgatory means a state or place after death for expiating or making anew sins by suffering. Worship service conducted in Latin in 600. Also in 600, prayers directed to Mary. In 607, Boniface III became the first pope. In 709, kissing the pope's feet. In 786, worshipping of images and relics. In 850, the use of holy water began. In 995 AD, the canonization of dead saints. In 1079, celibacy of the priesthood. 1090, prayer beads. 1190, sale of indulgences. 1220, adoration of the water. 1229, Bible forbidden to lay people. 1439, doctrine of purgatory. In 1508, the Ave Maria, which is the Hail Mary, was approved. In 1546, apocryphal books put into the Bible. 1854, Immaculate Conception of Mary. 1870, the infallibility of the Pope declared. In other words, he was God on earth. He could do no wrong. Nothing would be wrong. In 1965, Mary proclaimed the Mother of the Church. Now, that's just some of them. There's many more, but I'll just, you know, it gets laborious over time, doesn't it? Now, there are many, many more, like I said, but at least this gives you a glimpse of just what has taken place concerning this institution that claims some 1 billion plus members today. And sadly, many of these changes in Roman Catholicism have become more prominent than the original teachings of Christianity. Now, the subject of Babylon in Scripture is one of prominent themes of the Bible, beginning in Genesis 10, where the city of Babel is first mentioned, and continued references throughout Scripture, climaxing, of course, in Revelation. From these various passages, it becomes clear that Babylon in Scripture is the name of a great system or religious error. It plagued Israel in the Old Testament, as well as the church in the New Testament. Its most confusing form, however, is found in Romanism. Now, of primary importance in the study of Babylon is its relation to religion as it unfolds in Revelation 17. Now, the following is a brief review as to how Babylon relates to religion. In addition to materials given in the Bible itself, ancient accounts indicate that the wife of Nimrod, who founded the city of Babylon, became the head of the so-called Babylonian mysteries, which consisted of secret religious rites which were developed as part of the worship of idols in Babylon. She was known by the name of Semiramis and was a high priest of the idol worship. Now, according to extra-biblical records which have been preserved, Semiramis gave birth to a son who she claimed was conceived miraculously. Now, the son, given the name Tammuz, was considered a savior of his people and was, in effect, a false messiah, purported to be the fulfillment of the promise given to Eve. Now, the legend of the mother and child was incorporated to the religious rites and is repeated in various pagan religions. Idols picturing the mother and the queen as the queen of heaven with the babe in her arms are found throughout ancient world, and countless religious rites were introduced, supposedly promising cleansing from sin. Now, though the rites which were observed in the Babylonian false religion differed greatly in various localities, there usually was a priestly order which furthered the worship of the mother and child, practicing the sprinkling of holy water, and established an order of virgins dedicated to religious prostitution. Tammuz, the son, was said to have been killed by a wild beast and afterward brought back to life, obviously a satanic anticipation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, concerning the church today, it is simply an overwhelmingly sad commentary to show such an ardent desire to return to Rome in spite of Rome's evident apostasy from true biblical Christianity. Now, on top of this, modern liberalism in today's Protestant society is making every effort to match Rome in its departure from the theology of the early church. Simply, apostasy in its most blasphemous forms will flower in these emerging super church and will apparently engulf all Christendom in the period just after the rapture of the church, which I believe is any moment. That's it. Very brief. Mystery. Babylon the Great. The coming world church. Until next time, this is Red.